know if you know the name Anthony Bourdain. Anthony Bourdain. He did that Parts Unknown show on television where he'd travel all around the world and go to different restaurants or people's homes where they were cooking these meals. And he went to Myanmar, Koreatown in LA, Colombia, Quebec, Morocco, Libya, Peru, Congo, Jerusalem, Spain, New Mexico, Copenhagen, Sicily, Tokyo, Detroit, India, Vegas, Mexico, Russia, Thailand, and Iran. And that was just the first couple seasons. He went to 80 different countries. He went to all seven continents. And after 20 years on the road, he mapped out each restaurant that he went to as kind of a surveyor of global taste. For Bourdain, food was never just about survival or even pleasure. It was a gateway into the soul of an individual. He once said that food is everything we are. It's an extension of nationalistic feeling, ethnic feeling, your personal history, your province, your region, your tribe, your grandma. Food is such a wonderful thing. He was just as excited to eat a humble meal passed down through the generations as he was to go to a fine dining, you know, four-course or three-course meal. It's interesting how significant the idea of a portion of food is, isn't it? A portion of food. And we kind of take it for granted, I think, in Canada. And yet, with the rising cost of food, the average food for a family of four is up to $1,400 a month. Can you believe that? Family of four up to 14. In Guatemala City, on the other hand, it might be closer to $400 a month. And in the Mayan highlands, probably around 50 because they grow their own food. On this World Communion Sunday, Christians gather from all over, in different places, in different situations. The cup and the bread, they remind us that Christ is in the center of it all. We all have the same portion in Christ, whether it's in a beautiful church building, a grand cathedral, in a backyard or a storefront church, or a village under a tree. God's portion is a healthy portion, and it's for all of us. I know that it doesn't always feel this way in life. Some seem to receive a lot and others just a little. And it isn't just food. Our portion for safety and health and stability and peace and hope can sometimes feel like we have a small portion. And that's where our scripture meets us today. In Lamentations, the poet looks at his own portion and it's small. It's only all he sees is suffering and bitterness and loss. From his perspective, life has become very, very small and even hopeless. Many believe that the poet was Jeremiah the prophet, and he was writing in a time when the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed around 586 BC. And so for the people of Israel, the temple was the visible sign that God was with them. If they had a temple, God was with the people. So you take that away, and you can imagine what God's people were feeling. Like somehow God had abandoned them, that he wasn't there. The temple was in ruins, and the heart of their faith was gone. So Jeremiah, he laments. He mourns not only the loss of stone and structure, a beautiful building, and his prayers are honest prayers. God, you need to remember my situation. Why is this happening? Why don't you do something about it? My life is miserable and I'm going through such a hard time. Don't forget me. His words are raw. He doesn't dress up feelings in polite prayers. He's raw with God. He lets his emotion out for God. And maybe that's not a bad thing. He tells God exactly how he feels. I'm afraid. I'm insecure. I'm exhausted. He speaks of bitterness as sharp as wormwood, of grief that leaves a sour taste like gall. Jeremiah is dramatic too, it seems like. But he confesses, my soul continually thinks of it, and it's bowed down within me. Those are heavy words. My soul is bowed down within me. The poet feels the weight of despair pressing in, homeland destroyed, people shattered, worship no longer having the energy to do it. But it is striking, isn't it, that he speaks so honestly, and maybe we need to speak honestly with God sometimes as well. Jeremiah's downcast, he's unsettled, he's displaced. It's a picture of someone who's kind of lost everything. When we turn from Jeremiah's world to ours, maybe it's not so far. Many people feel like their portion is bitterness or emptiness or disappointment or grief, instability. Think back just a few years ago with the pandemic. That was a bitter pill to swallow. Strained relationships, separated families, businesses exposed, and it just exposed our fragile systems that were in place. The residue of the season remains in many ways, and yet it reminds us how quickly life can unravel just like that. Life is precious, and life can change very quickly. But it's not just in this global crisis. Closer to home, our portion can seem like empty. When an illness hits or we face disappointments, we lose the loved one in our lives. It can feel like God's overlooked us or abandoned us. And it can be hard. It can be difficult. And yet beyond personal struggles, there is a larger unease in the air in our time and now. I was reading a National Post article, and it's in the American context, but it said that 3 out of 10 Americans strongly feel that violence is the best way forward. 3 out of 10. You know, they feel like the violence is necessary to set things back on track. What a sobering thought. It's not just from the fringes either, on the radical this side or the right. These are stretched across political lines, people are thinking this. Kind of reveals a deep impatience, I think, in the human soul. When things aren't going right, we'll try to do anything to fix it. Anybody a fixer here? And we look for a quick fix or just to stop what's happening. I think that's human nature too. But there is the spiritual hunger that Jeremiah named when our portion feels small, when it feels bitter, when it tastes sour, when we're tempted to give up on waiting on God. We've all felt this. But as Jeremiah discovered, and as we will see, that's not where our true hope is found. Jeremiah, in the midst of all of this suffering, has a DNA, a memory of God. And it comes to him in his despair. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. He remembered that as beat down, as defeated the people of God were, they're not completely consumed. There is still a remnant of restoration, a remnant of hope. Wherever God leaves life, God also leaves hope too. Jeremiah remembers it. There is hope. And he remembers that the Lord is my portion. And therefore, we can have hope. The nation can have hope. That they can rest in the reassurance that the God of abundance is our portion. It's God all along. God is our portion, no matter what we're going through in this life. God is our portion. God is the key to our satisfaction in the end. And finding his portion in the midst of the strife is what will move us forward. This is what settles him. This is what satisfies his soul, even in the midst of a search for something to satisfy. He remembers, and he takes a breath. Each year on the first Sunday in October, we observe this World Communion Sunday, a day organized around the idea of sharing that meal together. And it started at Shadyside Presbyterian Church. What a name, eh? Shadyside. I love it. Shadyside Presbyterian in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In 1933. And that year, 33, has been described as the darkest day of World War I, the darkest day of the year of Great Depression, a time when Nazism was on the rise in Europe. 1933. And the people of Shadyside felt that a celebration emphasizing churches coming together was the right thing to do. Amen. And so they came together, and year after year, this celebration has continued throughout the churches in the world. And as their plan was to emphasize unity by sharing a common meal, communion represents this. It represents unity. Unity with God and unity with others, unity with ourselves. As one wise person once said, when we eat together, we bring together the fragments of individual lives and experience communion. Beautiful. I think a simple witness of this right here in our own community is the Uxbridge Food Bank and the soup lunch. Week after week, volunteers prep food. Week after week, the portions may not be large or fancy, but they're enough. They're enough for that day. They're enough for that week. They're seasoned with dignity and with kindness and with welcome. And in that space, people discover they too are not forgotten, that God cares for them too. They do belong. There is hope. That too is communion. That too is God's portion being enough for all. The world needs more people who are satisfied, who know that the Lord is their portion. The world needs more people that know that picking sides, it's never going to be the way. The world needs more people who are willing to sit at tables and eat with one another and hear ideas and just meet people where they're at. The world needs more communion. Friends, the Lord is your portion. Not a paycheck or a pension, not a possession or even a circumstance. Our hope is not portioned in the size of what we have. It's portioned in the Lord. It's portioned in the communion, in the blood, in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. Today at the table, we receive that portion again. In bread and in cup, we taste the steadfast love of the Lord, which never ceases. So let us take and eat. Let us take and drink. Let us do so with thanksgiving that we're included, and that God's portion is enough. His steadfast love endures forever. He is our portion, always enough, always faithful, always ours. All praise and glory to the good God. Amen.